Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everybody, and we'd like to read to you a series of articles on the theme of Black Lives Matter, as featured in the Voice of People section of Share International Magazine, July-August issue. And this is from the Voice of the People, of course. Black Lives Matter and all the protests are transforming the U.S. Isn't that amazing? We hope. In over 2,000 small towns and big cities in all 50 U.S. states, hundreds of thousands of people spanning all races took to the streets in overwhelmingly peaceful fashion in the days and weeks after the killing of George Floyd, a black man, by a white police officer in Minneapolis in May 2020, declaring Black Lives Matter and demanding racial justice for African Americans. Though Floyd's killing, excruciatingly captured by eyewitness video, was one in a long line of similar incidents going back decades and even longer, the unprecedented public response it has ignited, both in scope and diversity, as well as the effects it is already having on everything from police practices to public attitudes, represents, many believe, a turning point in racial relations in the U.S. "We haven't seen a moment like this in at least half a century," said Harvard professor Kahil Gibran Muhammad, author of The Condemnation of Blackness on Democracy Now!, the News Hour, with protesters taking to the streets to demand once and for all not just police reform and accountability, but the prospect of a new vision of a relationship between state authorities and the health of a community.
In response to the killing, cities and states across the U.S. began enacting police reforms. Among them, the Minneapolis City Council unanimously passed a resolution to pursue a community-led public safety system to replace the police department. According to the resolution, the City Council will begin a year-long process of engaging with every willing community member in Minneapolis to come up with a new public safety model. In New York State, the New York State banned police use of chokeholds, such as used on George Floyd, and repealed a law that shields previous misconduct of police officers from public view. And in Dallas, Texas, was adopted a duty to intervene rule that requires police officers to stop other officers who are engaging in inappropriate use of force. On the federal level, legislation has been introduced in Congress to address police misconduct, excessive force, and racial bias in policing. In addition, some cities across the U.S. are reducing and reallocating funds from police budgets as calls for reimagining the country's approach to law enforcement continue. In Hartford, Connecticut, they will cut $1 million from its police department and redistribute the money to city departments for health and other public services. And Boston's mayor announced he will seek to transfer 20% of the city's police overtime budget to social services. And in Los Angeles, Mayor Eric Garcetti announced he would cut $250 million from the city's overall budget and redirect those funds to public health, youth development, damages for those who have suffered discrimination, and peace centres to heal trauma. At least $100 million of the cuts to fund these efforts are expected to come from the police budget.
These changes are taking place as attitudes in the US toward race are shifting. In a Monmouth University poll released during the protest, 76% of Americans, including 71% of white people, called racism and discrimination a big problem in the United States. That's a 26 percentage point increase since 2015. In an article in The New Yorker titled, How Do We Change America?, Kianga Yamata Taylor, Assistant Professor of African American Studies at Princeton University, writes, it should be clear what the demands of young black people are: an end to racism, police abuse and violence, and the right to be free of the economic coercion of poverty and inequality. Securing the future that the protesters demand requires conquering the logic that finances police and jails at the expense of public schools and hospitals, according to Taylor. Police should not be armed with expensive artillery intended to maim and murder civilians, while nurses tie garbage sacks around their bodies and reuse masks in a futile attempt to keep the coronavirus at bay. We have the resources to remake the United States, but it will have to come at the expense of the plutocrats and the plunderers, she adds. And therein lies a 300-year-old conundrum. America's professed values of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, continually undone by the reality of debt, despair, and the human degradation of racism and inequality.
In a New York Times column titled, America, This Is Your Chance, civil rights attorney and legal scholar Michelle Alexander writes, our only hope for our collective liberation is the politics of deep solidarity rooted in love. In recent days, we've seen what it looks like when people of all races, ethnicities, genders and backgrounds rise up together, standing in solidarity for justice, protesting, marching and singing together, even as SWAT teams and tanks roll in. We've seen our faces in another American mirror, a reflection of the best of who we are and what we can become, she concludes. These images may not have dominated the media coverage, but I've glimpsed in a foggy mirror scenes of a beautiful, courageous nation struggling to be born. And that was sourced from various websites, including commondreams.org, nytimes.com, motherjones.com.
And now I'd like to continue with an article from The Voice of the People in the Share International magazine, July-August this year. And it's titled, Je ne peux pas respirer, which means, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. These were the last words of Eric Garner, who died on 17 July 2014, after a New York police officer put him in a chokehold while arresting him. The same words, je ne peux pas respire, were pronounced by Adama Traore on 19th of July 2016, arrested in Beaumont-sur-Oise, France. The words, I can't breathe, were also the last words pronounced on 20 May 2020 by George Floyd, who died after a white police officer knelt on his neck for 8 minutes 46 seconds in Minneapolis, USA. All three were people of color. These words have now become viral on social media as a symbol of inhuman treatment of people who are denied the right to live because of the color of their skin. I can't breathe has become the rallying call of spontaneous and massive demonstrations all over the world after George Floyd's death. Young people were at the core of these demonstrations, some waving placards, I can't breathe, also a symbol of a youth smothered by a dysfunctional society. On Saturday, 6th of June, thousands gathered in Britain, France, Germany and Sweden, following marches in the United States, Tokyo and Sydney. As if the lid of the pressure cooker had been lifted when the lockdown was eased, past anger and dissatisfaction erupted again.
Protesters in central London filled Parliament Square and the surrounding streets despite cold, rainy weather and lockdown restrictions. Most wore face masks and chanted Black Lives Matter and No Justice, No Peace. Then everyone knelt on the wet ground. This gesture was first used in September 2016 by Colin Kaepernick, a US football player who knelt to protest against police brutality and racism. He was standing up for, or taking a knee for, millions and millions of people that don't have the platform and don't have a voice. In June 2020, House and Senate Democrats knelt for over 8 long minutes, the time of George Floyd's agony, to pay tribute to George Floyd's death and as a protest against racism. In Paris on Saturday, 6 June, although gatherings above 10 people were still banned because of COVID-19 safety measures, 20,000 people gathered on the Place of La République. This demonstration was organised by the Comité Adama, one of several anti-racist committees from the working class areas. Young people were at the core of this demonstration, some waving placards, "I can't breathe," in memory of Adama. Several other gatherings took place in various cities in France, including Bordeaux, Lille and Rennes. In many cases, these demonstrations were an opportunity to discuss the reality of white privilege, the possibility of getting out in the street without being checked by police and taken into custody.
In Liège, eastern Belgium, 700 people braved the ban and participated in a march against racism. In Germany, the players of Bayern Munich wore a T-shirt bearing the inscription, "Black Lives Matter," in a football match. In Berlin, 15,000 people gathered at Alexanderplatz and kept silent for 8 minutes. In Stockholm and Helsinki, several thousand protesters walked the streets wearing masks and chanting the slogans "Black Lives Matter" and "I Can't Breathe." In UK, some demonstrators were heard saying, "Have you ever walked down a road and seen a woman hide her bag from you? Do you have security guards following you in shops? Are you pulled over by police several times a week?" We need to start building communities, respect and equality. It makes some people feel uncomfortable seeing black people protesting in this way. It's hard for people to admit their ancestors have done wrong and that society has to change. Sometimes we need to accept criticism because that's the way forward.
I feel completely obliged to attend upcoming protests. This is a historic moment and I want to be a part of it, show my solidarity and be able to tell my daughter about it. I want her to grow up in a society where we invest in each other, where the best isn't kept for the elites. In another quote, "If I decide to have kids one day, I don't want them to suffer because of the colour of their skin, to be harassed like I have been." The murder of George Floyd triggered a wave of shock, revolt and debate around the world about police violence, racism and racial inequality. Silence is no longer an option. That was sourced from The Guardian newspaper in the UK and the New York Times in the US and Mediapart.
And now we continue with another article from called The Voice of the People. And this, it's once again, it's entitled "I Can't Breathe, A Chilling Anthem for Global Inequality." And it's been written by Piyusha Kotecha. It begins with this wonderful quote by Desmond Tutu. "If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor." The distasteful truth linking the deaths of Collins Khoza and George Floyd at the hands of security forces in South Africa and the United States is that the lives of certain categories of people in our societies are considered more precious than others. Floyd's last words, "I can't breathe," as he was suffocated under the knee of Minneapolis policeman Derek Chauvin in May 2020, speak for billions of human beings who are fundamentally disempowered because they are poor, because they are black, because they are women, because they are gay, because they are of other faiths, because they are defenseless, because they fall on the wrong side of their society's power divide, the systemic inequality gap. Khoza died at the end of March 2020, soon after being strangled, slammed against a wall, and hit by South African soldiers overzealously enforcing COVID-19 lockdown regulations, his family said. The soldiers involved in the incident have been cleared by a Defence Force inquiry, but a police investigation is ongoing.
Although both Khosa and Floyd technically enjoyed the same constitutional and human rights in their respective countries as their white, wealthy or otherwise privileged compatriots, the actions of the soldiers and police who punished them reflected the painful truth of seemingly different values that societies and their personnel place on different lives. The COVID-19 pandemic sweeping the globe is a summoning call for collective action and for a new kind of leadership with the courage to focus on sustaining our humanity and Earth. With radical weather events due to climate change already making landfall and set to increase, the virus speaks to the profound vulnerability that underpins an unequal and overexploited world. Inequality is not sustainable. It dehumanizes people and profoundly limits our ability to mitigate crises. The tens of thousands of black, white and Latino citizens demonstrating non-violently against racism and injustice on the streets of American cities deserve unequivocal applause. Conversely, opportunistic looting and destruction of property witnessed in the US in response to Floyd's death must be unequivocally condemned.
Martin Luther King, in a sermon at the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in 1956, said, "If peace means a willingness to be exploited economically, dominated politically, humiliated and segregated, I don't want peace. In a passive, non-violent manner, we must revolt against this peace." Jesus says in substance, "I will not be content until justice, goodwill, brotherhood, love, yes, the kingdom of God are established upon the earth." This is real peace. Peace is the presence of positive good. And as I said before, Archbishop Tutu said, "If you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor." From the destruction that COVID-19 bequeaths us, we must build a world in which all human beings can breathe and all escape the oppression of being deemed expendable in an unequal world. And that's from the Desmond and Leah Tutu Legacy Foundation, tutu.org.za.
So moving on to our last piece, this is an article by Benjamin Krems Master titled "The Sword of Cleavage." Many people believe that despite the presence of Maitreya in the world, everything is becoming more threatening and unstable than hitherto. They wonder what hierarchy is doing to ease the many problems and difficulties that leave them afraid and unprepared for the heightened tension of today. The truth is, the world is being prepared. In times of great tension and change, people look at problems with a limited view, which they inevitably have, of the true state of society. Humanity imagines that all these events have the same impact and importance for the future, whereas the true view, which only the masters can see, is altogether different. The masters see the happenings as if occurring on a flat plane and as potential only. They know that some will precipitate and effect world change, while others will simply wither away without any precipitation at all. Humanity, with its limited vision, sees all these events as bearing on their future, but this is assuredly not the case. From the master's point of view, humanity has never been so ready for the new world that the future will bring. It has never been so near a time of inspiration and readiness to work for the common weal.
When the Christ said that he would return in such a time as we think not, he would bring not soft words of spurious peace, but a sword, the sword of cleavage, which would separate father from son and brother from brother. It is precisely the action of the sword of cleavage that we are witnessing today. Maitreya's energy of love stimulates everyone. The one who loves and works for justice and sharing, but also the one who causes the divisions, schisms and greed in the world. In this way, through the clear opposition created by the sword of cleavage, men can arrive at a true choice for the future for all men, the poor and hungry, as well as the men of money and the destroyers of peace in the world. Each of us must choose on which side of that division we find our truth. And that was from Share International and October 2014.
Well, that comes to the end of our program. Thank you very much for listening. And if you'd like more information, check out the website share-international.org. And also feel welcome to contact us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and blessings to you all.
Thank you very much.